All right, I'm here with another Teardown interview with Zach Grove from the Drip team. Zach, how's it going?
I'm doing well. How you doing, Brian?
Doing good. So thanks for joining me today. So today we're recording this in late November. And so for those who don't know, obviously Drip is the email marketing tool. But recently, or you know, a couple months back, earlier this year, you guys were acquired by Lead Pages. So just to give people a perspective of when we're recording this, you know, I know that you've been doing content and growth for Drip both before the acquisition and now after the acquisition. So maybe we can talk a bit about what has changed. But you know, before we really dive into that, you know, why don't you give us some quick background of like what has been your role at Drip?
So I joined Drip in January 2016, and I was employee number 5 to handle basically all things growth. So I was doing, you know, content marketing, content promotion, paid acquisition, webinars. And when Drip got acquired in July by Lead Pages, then my role shifted a little bit to focusing more on the paid acquisition side of things and paid media. And now we're experimenting with podcast advertising and some interesting things. But the core of what I've done has always been content and how we get the word out about Drip and then use that to drive user acquisition.
Very cool. I actually do want to come back to the paid stuff because, you know, I mean, it's part of this training course and just generally, like, people don't necessarily think about paid acquisition as it relates to content, but I think these days those definitely work hand in hand. So maybe we can touch on that a bit. But, you know, when you first came into Drip, that was pre-acquisition. So Drip was, you know, totally on its own independent company. So what was like the strategy back then, as you came into Drip and starting to think about like the early days of their content marketing strategy?
Yeah, it was scrappy, man. I mean, we're bootstrapped. We didn't have any money in the bank. I mean, we had cash to fund it, but we weren't VC funded like we are at Lead Pages now. So it was scrappy. I inherited this experiment that we were doing on Medium, actually, where we would syndicate all of our content to Medium, and we built up you know, a decent following, I think 2,000 followers on Medium. So trying to get the word out on social, and that sort of influenced our strategy. So we did a lot of expert roundups, right? We would always reach out to influencers to get quotes and then reach out to them after the post was published so that they would share it. And then that would drive traffic for us because we didn't quite have the budget for the paid promotion. And then, you know, as we grew, we were growing, you know, double digits month over month. Then we started to get more cash and we could play with Facebook ads to promote content. But it was always direct response and it was always trying to go straight for the trial as quickly as possible.
Yeah, actually, I was just going to ask. So in those early months, and I know that like Rob is very data driven, I'm sure you are as well. What were the metrics that you were looking at and kind of what convinced you that spending resources on content was worth it and that it's worth it to keep going? Like what were those, that early, how did you know that you saw some early traction?
Yeah, so we always focus more on bottom of the funnel. I know there are a lot of marketers, especially when it comes to content, that are crazy about social shares and monthly uniques, and we didn't focus on that so much. It was more like, how many opt-ins are we getting from this piece and how long did it take me to write it? Because I was pretty much the only marketing person. So there were posts, like I could give you a concrete example. We have a post, it's like 7 YouTube channels that every entrepreneur should subscribe to. And it got tens of thousands of uniques and it didn't drive any opt-ins. So in our eyes, that was a failure. So it was very bottom of the funnel opt-ins and trial signups. And then, you know, to speak to the second part of your question about paid, you know, when I talk about content, I don't just think of it as blog posts and articles. One flagship piece of content that we continue to use to this day is an automated webinar where it's 30 minutes of video content teaching people about email automation and marketing automation best practices. And then at the end of that automated webinar, we make a pitch for them to sign up. But, you know, it's 95% content. So I consider that content marketing and something that we would be very comfortable putting Facebook ads into because we can easily measure the conversion rate of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And so when you say opt-in, like as the bottom of the funnel for one particular blog article, what was the opt-in? Like, did you have a Drip email course or is that opt-in like a webinar registration or how do you think about the lead magnets?
It's a good question. And I can point people to a recommended resource. There's a really good post called I'm going to get the name wrong. It's by Grow and Convert at growandconvert.com. And they talk about how you should think about content upgrades and different lead magnets and how they eventually convert to the trial signup if you're a SaaS. And so the one that we found converted the best to trial signup was our email course. It's a 7-day course called Why Marketing Automation is the Future of Email Marketing. But we did test a lot of different options. We had another email course that was specifically for SaaS that didn't convert quite as well. But for us, it was that 7-day email course.
Got it. And so what is your, maybe just kind of stepping back here, like what does your team look like and the workflow? So back then when you joined the team back in January, who was producing all the content and who else was involved in it?
Yeah, so I produced a lot of content. We also had two freelance writers that would contribute a post every other week at the time. So we had one post a week coming from them. And as far as the workflow, a lot of the strategy from the top down would be Rob and I talking about it and, you know, what topics we should go after, what's getting traction and what's not. And that was all data driven, right? We were looking at Google Search Console and Google Analytics and our Medium stats when we were playing around with Medium. So we would get the topics and then we would give those topics to the freelance writer if they were going to write it, or if I was going to write it, then I would produce that content. And then I would say probably more than 50% of our workflow was the promotion.
Okay.
Before the acquisition, and then
I definitely want to get it. I definitely want to get into the promotion stuff for sure. But before we move on, you said how you talked about how you and Rob would kind of talk about topics and think about high level strategy. You know, Rob's obviously a very busy guy. He's the founder. He's working on a ton of different things, working on product, doing all sorts of things. Did you set a schedule for that, like a monthly meeting or a weekly meeting? To like, was it always a to-do that had to happen, or was it something that, you know, Rob or even you would just kind of dip into once in a while and set up a bunch of topics for a few months and then come back to it later? Like, how did you kind of manage that workload?
So we had a weekly growth meeting and we would touch on content, but I wouldn't say that we would plan out topics every single week. It would be more like once a month. But every week we were revisiting the data and seeing, oh, interesting, this post was driving opt-ins, this one was not. And then that would sort of inform the topics that I would bring to him, and then he would sign off on them.
Very cool. So yeah, I mean, let's see, where can we go from here? I guess before we get into the promotion side, still on the planning and the production of content. I mean, what does the posting schedule look like? Are you posting something new every week, multiple times a week? How does that look?
So pre-acquisition, it was maybe 3 times a week, 2 times a week. And then post-acquisition, we're posting something to our blog almost every day. We're emailing our list almost every day.
Got it. And for every, well, I guess this gets into promotion, but for every article, you are sending out an email blast to the list?
Yes.
Very cool. And so how do you manage the production side of things, like from idea to drafting the topic, editing it, formatting it, doing images, getting it up into WordPress? Like, how do you plan that? And do you have like a standard process in place for that?
We do. We have a Trello pipeline, and I had originally adapted one that I found in a post on WP Curve from my friend Kyle Gray that he created. And then we used something very similar at Lead Pages. I found that they were using a very similar process. But basically what we'll do is we'll have thought starters. So, you know, pre-acquisition, Rob would email me and say, hey, you know, check out this post from a competitor or whatever. We should do something similar. And then those are just ideas that I would collect. And then when it came down to prioritizing them based on data that we had and what we thought was going to perform the best, then we would write headlines. And then, you know, we would spend time on headlines. You know, if I would write 2 or 3 and then get Rob's opinion, and we still do that to this day in Lead Pages. So I really do think that the headline is 80% of the results, because it's 80% of the clicks that you're going to get. People are going to decide whether or not they're going to read the article. So just the topic and the idea generation to the headline, that was you know, a big part of the process. And then from there we would just put it into the Trello pipeline, and then it would get written and then edited. You know, if we needed a design done, then that would get added as well before we put it into promotion.
Very nice. So how does that production workflow look today at Lead Pages? Obviously you have way more resources at your disposal, more people in the office to work on this stuff. So how do you what has changed? What does it look like today?
I mean, in general, it's awesome. It's cool to have resources because now we have, you know, in-house designers that are amazing and design custom blog post images. So I'm not, you know, in Canva trying to come up with designs. I'm not a designer. But as far as the process, you know, the Trello pipeline is similar. I would say that the one thing that's changed is that now the process of coming up with ideas is a little bit more formal. We have a weekly pitch meeting. So every Friday morning, the whole content team and several other people, even our paid acquisition manager, we all sit in a room and then we just pitch ideas and we say, hey, you know, I was thinking we should write an article about this. Here's the customer or the client avatar that we would be going after. Here's the keyword we would be going after and the search volume. And so we all prepare those stats and everything that we need to bring to the table for every idea that we have. So
is this for lead pages as a whole or just for the drip blog?
that's a good question. This is for lead pages as a whole. So we actually have three different publications. We have Center, Drip, and Lead Pages.
Got it.
And
each one of those has a blog. Got it. Very cool. Let's get into the promotion side of things. So once an article is published, what happens after that? How do you get it out there? Has it gained traction?
Yeah. So at Lead Pages now, I guess we're kind of splitting this up into pre-acquisition, post-acquisition. Now it's a little bit easier because we have budget and we actually put a couple $100 behind every post, and that might not last forever, but right now we're doing that and it's working. So just to kind of get it out there, we'll bid based on impression. So we'll try and, you know, target as many people as possible who've liked our competitors, who've liked our page, and get that post in front of them.
And so that's Facebook ads, that's specifically Facebook ads?
Facebook ads, that's correct, yeah. So we put that behind every single post. And then we have, you know, a dedicated social media team. So everything that you would expect, sharing on Twitter, on LinkedIn, and specific industry LinkedIn groups, as well as Growth Hackers and inbound.org and other communities that might be interested in the posts.
So on those sites, the community sites, that's something that I'm really interested in. So are they finding like questions that people have asked and they reply to those questions with, hey, you know, we just wrote an article about this, or are they just kind of posting it to the feed of new articles coming through, or any like specific strategies?
Yeah, it's typically like posting the content into the group. So to give you a specific example, there's a group on Reddit. It's like r/marketing, right? Where people just post different marketing content and post questions and whatnot. So we would be a post or a thread within that community. And I posted one article. We did an expert roundup called 33 Email Marketing Tips from Top Experts. And we had tips from, you know, experts like Noah Kagan and Brian Dean and Devesh Kanal. And we posted it in there and said, hey, you know, here are 10 of our favorite tips from this expert roundup with 33 tips. You know, would love to hear your number one email marketing tip. So it's always important to add a question and engage that community, because if you get more answers on your posts, then that's going to, you know, tilt the algorithm in your favor, basically, to get to the top.
Got it. So again, like going back in time, pre-acquisition, you don't have a whole social media team at your disposal. You know, you're a bootstrapped company. What did promotion look like back then? I think you said that you were still experimenting with some Facebook promoted posts and things. And so what was different? And I guess, were you handling everything yourself in terms of promotion?
I was, and I would say that it was almost identical, except we didn't have the Facebook ads budget. So we did dabble in that a little bit, but it was more of a hustle. It was more like, I'm in a Slack group, and I would recommend that anybody, especially in the marketing space, if you can get into a community of people, whether that's on Slack or a Facebook group or even just via email, and then reach out to them and say, hey, we just posted this epic content. If you could give us an upvote and a comment in this community, that would be really helpful. And, you know, that's not going to get you to number one on Growth Hackers or Inbound. Your content has to be good. So make no mistake about that. But just to get that initial boost, we spent more time doing that because we didn't have the Facebook ads budget.
Got it. You know, I've seen a lot of those communities, and I'm a part of them as well. How much of that is kind of just noise, and are you able to do that for every single post, or do you only like kind of ask a group of people for an upvote or a share or comment, like for once in a while for a really epic post?
Yeah, I only do that with really epic posts, to be honest with you. There are people that take it too far, in my opinion. They'll be in a Slack channel and they're posting every single day with every new article. I think that the skyscraper strategy is something that your students should definitely consider. looking at the stats and the ROI behind doing one epic post that's maybe 5,000 words once a month, as opposed to, you know, a 1,500 word blog post every single week. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you which is going to perform better, but we found that at least in the noisy marketing space, your content has to be really epic. And so we would only promote the posts that we felt were worthy of an ask, because otherwise you're just going to ask for too many favors, in my opinion.
Got it. So once in a while you're publishing like an epic skyscraper 10X type content piece. That's where you'll actually go out and hustle in the communities and kind of share it around. But the everyday posts or every other day posts, is there like a standard checklist that you just do for every single time? Like send out the email newsletter, you know, buffer a bunch of tweets and Facebook posts, like things like that?
Yeah. So for, let's say, like the Tuesday, Thursday post pre-acquisition, what we would do was exactly what you just said. Email the list, share on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn groups. And what else would we do? You know, we used Edgar to automate a lot of the social media posting. So it wouldn't just be one tweet, right? You would pull out a quote and that would be a separate tweet. Or maybe you have a different graph or something like that, a different image from the post. You create three or five tweets for every single blog post, and then that's going to be continually posted via Edgar. So mostly just emailing the list, posting on social. And if we did quote an influencer in that post, then we would obviously reach out to them and let them know.
Very cool. So what do things look like on the back end? And I'm a longtime Drip user now, and we use it for almost all of our clients as well. I know that Drip obviously specializes in email marketing automation. You guys have the workflows feature, which is great. I'm curious to know like what your back end workflows look like specifically from the content perspective. So not so much what happens after someone signs up for a free trial of Drip, but maybe if they opt in for a content upgrade or the email course, like what happens after that? And I know that you said you can maybe share some stuff. I don't know if you could share your Drip workflows, but anything that you can show us would be really helpful too.
Yeah, I can. Give me one second. Let me just open up our Drip account here. Let me share my screen.
My baby and 2-year-old are in the next room, so they might be getting included in today's session.
Do you have a newborn and a 2-year-old?
Yeah, she's like almost 7 months old now, and then the 2.5-year-old. So.
Oh, fun times.
Yep.
there we go. Share screen. Yeah, so I'm happy to jump into what we do on the back end. As far as workflows, I could just give you a summary. Basically, when somebody opts in for a content upgrade, so let's say, where's the one where we just put out a good content upgrade? We've actually been experimenting with getting rid of the content upgrades recently, but that's another story.
Another thing I want to come back to at some point, I noticed you guys have a lot of guest posts on your blog. I want to ask you about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So here we use lead boxes, on the technical side to set this up. Mm-hmm. So somebody clicks here, then they can opt in to get the welcome email template. That's our content upgrade. And then within Drip, what happens is we send them the content upgrade that they requested, and then we tag them. So that's really the secret sauce, is in Drip, we make it really easy to tag people in a workflow, and then they exit that workflow. But we have tags based on people's interests. So with Drip's user base, it's really wide. We have e-commerce stores, we have SaaS businesses, we have consultants and agencies, et cetera. And so if somebody downloads a welcome email template, maybe they're higher up in the funnel, right? They haven't even set up their email sequence and they need help with that. So we might tag them with tofu or top of the funnel. Whereas if somebody downloads like a white paper or a case study or, a comparison between Drip and other tools, then they're at the bottom of the funnel or BOFU. So we will tag them based on that. And then that's useful because later on, if we publish content that's, let's say it's really only relevant for SaaS businesses, we don't want to email every online store entrepreneur, e-commerce entrepreneur with something about SaaS. Then in Drip, we can only send that broadcast to people that are tagged interested in SaaS. And we wouldn't have those tags on those people if we weren't adding them within the content upgrade workflow. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So let me just break that down real quick. So it sounds like you, very high level, you've got like two big buckets, basically top of funnel and bottom of funnel. And you kind of classify all of your lead magnets as either top of funnel. And that would be kind of educational, just high level, you know, strategy content. Bottom of funnel is much more specific to drip the product. So if they're looking at case studies or the price comparison, that's an indicator that they're actually in the market and thinking about buying drip. So that's more of a bottom of the funnel, right? And then on a category basis, is that how you're defining? Okay, if they did a content upgrade on an e-commerce related post, then we'll tag them as e-commerce. If they were on a post about SaaS, then we'll tag them as SaaS. Is that how you kind of categorize them?
Exactly. Yeah. So I would say those are really the two ways we tag people primarily as far as content is concerned. It's top of the funnel, middle of the funnel, and bottom of the funnel. So TOFU, MOFU, and BOFU are kind of the funny acronyms people use. And then category as well, right? If people are interested in SaaS or e-commerce or if they're a professional blogger, et cetera.
Very cool. And so how do you... Okay, so they get tagged. They get their content upgrade. What happens after that? Are they receiving an automated sequence of emails, or do they go into your live newsletter? Like, what happens next?
Yeah, so pre-acquisition, like I mentioned, we did do the 7-day email course. Since then, post-acquisition, we've actually been sending them basically daily broadcast emails. And we do give people an option as well. This is fairly new. We're testing this where we give people the option to sign up for weekly or daily emails. And so let me show you what that looks like. So here's the main blog header call to action. And the lead box says, how often would you like to receive content from us? Every new post or one weekly update.
Oh, that's
and then
cool.
Depending on which one they choose, which of these radio buttons, then we update a custom field and drip. And then that tags them either the tag each or the tag weekly. And so that's how we set up our broadcast and drip.
Very cool. So then what happens after that?
Yeah. So as they're getting, let's say, whether it's weekly or every new post, one of the hacks I guess people could take away is, how do you convert people once they sign up for a content upgrade or sign up for blog content? How do you actually convert them into trials and customers? And so one of the most effective strategies we found is actually personalizing the call to action. So here at the bottom of one of our emails, and this is in every single email that comes from me, you can sign up to our list just to check this out. You'll get an email from Zach at Drip, and it'll say, P.S. if you haven't yet tried marketing automation with Drip, now is a great time. You can join Drip for free. Now, what's really cool is that if somebody's already a Drip customer, they don't see this P.S. It goes away. And this is using liquid templating, which is a feature in Shopify, and we use it as well in Drip. But I can show you, if you go to the bottom, it says, I don't know if you can read this, unless subscriber tags contains started a trial, show them the PS.
Right.
But if it doesn't, then they don't see that at all.
So it's kind of like a conditional statement that just shows it or hides it. And they've already been tagged accordingly if they started a trial. So
correct. And then you can take this a step further and you can filter based on the subscription status in Stripe. So let's say somebody, they're on a pro plan, but you want to upgrade them to a business plan. Then their PS could be, have you checked out all the benefits of our business plan? Check them out right here. And they're seeing that in every single piece of content. If you're sending out, emails 3 times a week, then they're getting that call to action in their inbox 3 times a week. That's, the perfect next step for them.
Got it. So earlier on, you mentioned you guys are doing some automated webinars. Where does that come into play in the sequence of things?
Yeah, so, well, a few different places. The webinars actually become our main call to action, and this isn't an automated webinar, but I can show you. So after you opt in on that main blog header that I showed you, then the thank you page takes you to a webinar sign up. And so this is actually a weekly live webinar that we do. You can see starting in 22 hours. And
that's really interesting. I've heard that strategy done before where you're putting a second call to action on the thank you page after the initial opt-in. So the content upgrade is kind of like a lightweight, just get the foot in the door, here's something. And then once that kind of shows that they're engaged. And when they're most engaged, right after they opted in, show them something for a webinar.
That's right. And so if somebody's currently on the email list to be getting blog updates, whether it's weekly or daily, once they sign up for the webinar, which is our main conversion mechanism for Drip Now post-acquisition, then they get pulled down to the webinar reminders, and they're not going to get bombarded with content and webinar reminders. We hit pause on the content, and then hopefully they sign up, and then they'll go into our onboarding workflow. But if they don't, then we have a post-webinar follow-up sequence that we call our Kaizen, which just sends them more information about Drip specifically and how we're better and different than competitors. And so that's, you know, as bottom of the funnel as it gets, because they've signed up and attended a webinar and they still haven't signed up. And then if eventually, you know, they somehow go through all of those emails and they still don't sign up for Drip, then we put them back into content.
Very nice. Yeah, that's awesome. So yeah, I wanted to ask real quickly about guest posts. I noticed quite a few of the recent articles on the Drip blog are coming from guest authors. How did those come about? And is that like a strategy that you guys are doing ongoing, or what is that?
Yeah, so we pretty aggressively pursue integrations that make sense for us and are going to put us in front of the user bases that we want to get in front of. So Deadline Funnel, for example, Jack Bourne. Jack actually pitched me directly. I get quite a few pitches. Especially, you know, post-acquisition now, people know about Lead Pages and they want to get in front of our audience, which is great because, you know, people pitch us some really good content, and it's always helpful when we don't have to write everything ourselves, but somebody wants to impress our audience so that they put, you know, they put together their best stuff and they've got funnel diagrams. So this is just one example. We call this our integration spotlight series, where we, you know, if we integrate with, let's say, you know, a Sumo Me or Stripe, we want to show people how they can use those two tools together. So we get guest post pitches from integration partners. And then, you know, other times we will actually reach out to our customers and offer to to ghostwrite posts for them. So this is one of our customers, Eric Sue. And so I got on the phone with Eric and I interviewed him for 10, 15 minutes about his move from AWeber to Infusionsoft to Drip and all of the decision-making that went into that. And then I handed off a Google Doc of notes as well as the audio MP3 of our call to one of our content writers. And then she ghost wrote this in the voice of Eric. So, you know, it is a guest post. These are all of his words that he said on our call. But, you know, he's a busy CEO, so we took this off of his plate and wrote it for him. So,
got it.
You know, a few different, I guess you could say, brands of guest posts on the Drip blog.
Awesome. I guess just one final question to close things out. I mean, what is, just to bring back the question that I asked earlier, what are the key metrics that you're looking at now? You know, now it's post acquisition. You've got a huge team there at Lead Pages. Like, what are the key things that you guys are looking at on an ongoing basis? And maybe part two of that is like, what's really working and what's kind of a little bit like cutting edge or things that you're thinking about going forward as we head into 2017 when it comes to the content marketing strategy?
Sure. So as far as, you know, ROI and metrics and what we're looking at, we are looking mostly at trial sign up, and we've gotten a little bit more advanced with it where now in Google Analytics, we can look at assisted conversion. So, you know, if somebody reads a blog post, how likely are they to then sign up? And we found that somebody that reads a Drip blog post and engages with our content is four times more likely to sign up for a trial than somebody who just hits the homepage. And that's something that we're only able to track because of getting accurate data in Google Analytics, which is not always the easiest to set up and get that tracking in place. So trials, assisted conversions. The other thing that we're looking at more closely is organic search and how do we get posts ranked in Google so that we get passive traffic, you know, hopefully for years, and we're not just getting, you know, what Tim Solo from Ahrefs calls the spike of hope and then the flat line of nope, where you get a lot of social traffic and then it just flatlines. And I could even pop over to Ahrefs here that I've got open. We do look at some metrics to predict whether or not a post is likely to rank. And, you know, to anybody that's interested in increasing their organic search from their content marketing, I highly recommend Ahrefs. I've tried a few different tools. And this tool in particular, it's really good because you can explore different keywords and then even see what your competitors are ranking for that you are not. And so those are opportunities. So organic search, assisted conversions, trial signups. And the second part of your question was, what are we excited about?
Yeah, what are you excited about? What's really working for you now, or what are you trying to get more into as you head into 2017?
Yeah, I think You know, one of the things we're really excited about is becoming more of a publication that's respected. So, like, let's say you look at a HubSpot. It's pretty impressive that, you know, Dharmesh Shah started a startup called HubSpot, and now people link to HubSpot as if they're linking to, like, the Wall Street Journal, right? And why do they do that? Well, it's because HubSpot publishes a lot of original research, and they just have a lot of cool data, and they invest in that so that people look at them as a real authority, you know, in the digital marketing of the small business space. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's really timely because today we actually just released this. This is our first annual 2017 entrepreneurship report, where we actually surveyed close to 2,000 different entrepreneurs across the U.S. and just asked them, you know, questions like, how do you get the majority of your new customers? What's the biggest barrier to growing your business? And then putting that data on our blog, and we just got covered on Inc. and Business Insider.
Nice.
So that's something I'm excited about, is positioning Drip as more of an authority in the digital marketing space.
Awesome. Well, this has been super valuable, Zach. Thank you for sharing all this info. And of course, folks can check out Drip at the new URL, drip.co. Zach, anywhere else people can connect with you?
Drip.co/blog. Maybe sign up for our email list and start consuming some of our content and see how we do it if you're interested in leveling up your content game. Awesome. And of course, if you want to sign up for Drip, drip.co, you can join for free up to 100 contacts.
Very cool. And I definitely recommend Drip, the tool. I mean, I've been using it for a couple of years. We use it almost exclusively at Audience Ops. So great tool, great for email marketing automation. So Zach, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Okay.